Welcome to The Speckled Bees, a celebration of childhood. This is a podcast where we talk about all things child development and education related. I'm Lucy Ritter, and my podcast co-host is Spencer Hyde. And we talk about things that really spark our interest, really make us passionate in the field of child development and parenthood. I am super excited about this interview this week. So this is Rachel Tenney from the Plant School podcast and Tenney Plants on Instagram. Are you other places?
Yeah, I do have a YouTube channel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's just kind of plant information on there as well. And I do have a blog, tenneyplants.com. That one is probably where I spend my least amount of time. So you can catch me most on my Tenney Plants YouTube channel, Tenney Plants Instagram, or my podcast, Plant School Podcast.
That's like us with TikTok. We have a TikTok. Nobody message us on our TikTok ever. You will never get a response ever. I was telling Rachel this story, and I just will share this with everyone. When I was telling Spencer that I was going to record an interview with Rachel, I totally told her, I was like, I'm going to have my friend on and we're going to talk. And then I had a hard stop and realized that I've never actually talked to Rachel in real life before. So,
you know what? Instagram friendship. It's real. It's a real
thing. Really is. And we've been friends on there for a little while. And like, you went to school with my best friend's sister. So that's what actually like connected us. And so, you know, I knew you were a real person at least. So, but yeah, I'm so excited. I have learned so much from your podcast and your Instagram. It coincided really well, like around when you started, when I discovered your podcast, we had just moved into, this is the first time that we have lived above ground. And so we actually have light. And so we actually have plants that survive, and it's really exciting. So I have you to thank for most of the plants that are alive, and we won't talk about the area of my house where I keep all my dead ones. I pretend they're going to come back alive. So, okay. So, this is a childhood podcast and you are a mom. So start introducing yourself. Definitely tell us about your family, your children.
Yeah. So I have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old, so they definitely keep me busy. We quickly learned
really fun.
And they're both boys. So like they're best buds now, which I love, and each other's worst enemies as well, you know? But yeah, after them, we kind of learned real quick, you know, maybe we should space them out just a tiny bit more. That was a little much, but no, we really love having them around. They're so much fun. And yeah, we're kind of just chilling here in Utah. My husband and I, he works from home. So we're kind of just like waiting to feel where we should move. Housing, as everyone knows, is crazy. So the US is open to us. And so, yeah,
well,
right now.
A fun adventure going overseas.
I know, right? Gardening's on my mind though, when it comes to where to move. I'm like, ooh, the Midwest, you can garden a lot there, like much better than out here in the more Western deserty parts of the United States.
And you like your ferns. And so you should probably come farther over, join us on the East Coast.
Yeah. They won't look so scraggly. Yeah.
The fern on my porch sure does though.
So. Oh no. Darn it.
Yeah, but that could just be me. So I think maybe it gets too much sun.
Yeah, I've never had one on my porch. So you are better at this than I am.
Well, I'll figure it out. I'm sure one day we'll keep that alive. But yeah, so you should come farther over this way.
Yeah, we're thinking about it.
More humidity keeps your plants alive a little bit better.
Yeah, also makes your hair frizzy, but maybe it's worth it for the plants.
It does make your hair frizzy.
Where are you guys at right now?
We're in Virginia.
Okay. That's very fun. We've looked as far as like North Carolina, and that's the closest we've looked to Virginia. So
we love North Carolina. John's family is in North Carolina, and we love North Carolina.
That's good to hear. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, long planting season because it never snows, really.
Yeah, I know.
Now, are you from Utah?
Yeah, I grew up in St. George.
Oh, okay.
So real hot and deserty.
Yeah.
Not much. Yeah.
So can I call you a plant scientist? Are you a plant scientist? Is that like
you? If you want, you can say botanist. That's a botanist. Fine. I call myself a botanist all the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I first wrote that and then I was like, what? Her degree is in plant science. So maybe she's a plants, like maybe that is a less like, yeah. I don't know. Botanist just sounds very, very formal.
I guess it does.
Are there like qualifications to be a botanist?
That is a great question. I actually don't know. I assume if you have like a degree in the plant science field, you can just like claim it, but
okay.
I don't know.
Well, you're a botanist then. Okay. So what led you to become a botanist?
Yeah. So when I started college, I wanted to go into animal science. I thought I was going to be a vet. Cool. Yeah. And then we started to dissect things in my college courses. And I was like, you know what? I don't know about this. They're kind of smelly. And I'm like, not very good with like these guts. And yeah, it just wasn't my thing. And then we started studying plants and cutting those open. And it was so much fun. I loved it. And I quickly realized I wanted to change my degree. I switched to forestry and then I switched schools when I got married to my husband. And so they offered a few plant degrees at my school and I chose landscape management. And so I learned how to not only do landscaping and how to design, but they also offer like soil science classes and plant science classes. And I just really grew to love that sort of stuff. And yeah, I'm glad like I finally found something that I was super passionate about because it quickly became like college quickly became such a fun time because I was learning about things that I actually loved. I'm sure you feel the same about like childhood education and things like that.
Yeah. It was very different once I found my major and was just taking major classes. And then you're like, oh, okay. I'll do this every day for the rest of my life. That's fine.
Yeah.
But that's so cool. That's so cool. Okay. So what is your favorite thing that you've learned from the last couple of years about plants?
That is kind of a hard question, but such a good one. And I feel like as I've done the Plant School podcast, I quickly learned that my favorite thing to cover in every episode was how plants connect back to humans. Like, how did this philodendron that grows in Brazil come to be a staple in our homes across like the world? And so I think my favorite thing that I've learned about plants is just that connection. And they call that ethnobotany, like study of humans, study of plants, how they interact. And part of me wonders, like one day I would like love to be an ethnobotanist and just like study humans and how they interact with plants, how they got to the places they are today. Kind of nerdy.
But I love that. I think that's so cool. Yeah. Spencer is really into like fashion design and stuff like that. And she was talking about how like how the clothes that we wear because they're from like our English roots, like we wear the wrong clothes for our environment. It doesn't make any sense, the fashions that we wear in the United States. But so like kind of the similar thing of like, well, and I think it's so interesting how many plants are the normal house plants. Like this is the house plant that's really popular like right now that everybody has. And it's not one that is native to here. And there's so many native plants here. So it's so interesting why that one would become the one that's popular, that's in everyone's home.
Yeah.
I think that's fascinating.
Yeah, me too. I think it's so much fun to learn about.
How do you become an ethnobotanist?
I don't know. Maybe get published. Maybe that's the key to being like a botanist and an ethnobotanist is publishing some article in a journal, which I have not done. So
one day.
Yeah, one day.
That's so cool. I love that. Okay, so let's kind of move it over to childhood a little bit, but more just in people in general. So what are the benefits that come from caring for plants inside and outside?
Yeah, so I love this question. And it was like the first question when you asked me to come on that I was thinking of, just like, why do we want to garden with our kids? Why do we need plants in our home when there's kids around? Because I don't know, it's such a science question. Love to know why we're doing the things we're doing. And so I dove into a lot of studies of the benefits of plants and having just a garden with kids involved. So I'm going to go through a lot of them, but yes. One study showed that kids who participated in gardening scored higher in their science and like their tests of science than those who had not gardened. Hmm. And I think that's probably because just gardening sparks so many questions, like why does a plant need sunshine? Why are worms good in the garden? And you as a parent can be there to help answer those questions, or they can kind of figure it out on their own. And you can also be adding in math with gardening, such as like measuring how tall things are, counting the flowers. And for littles and toddlers, it helps their fine motor skills. First of all, like planting seeds and touching things or pulling a tomato off, things like that. Lots of sensory development as well. And basically, it just like improves the STEM and analytical abilities. And STEM, you know this, but it stands for science, technology, engineering, mathematics. But I feel like it really grows that in a child. I guess that's a pun, isn't it? Grows. But it does. It helps them with all those things. And I think that's really cool.
I love that.
Yeah. Just another one. This one, it didn't have like studies behind it, but people have seen that planting a garden, spending that time together in a garden, it promotes, you know, family connection. There's communication skills that they're learning, and it really can give a kid a sense of purpose and responsibility. It can help their planning skills because you're working through problems. You're working like, when should we plant this? Because in a, you know, 60, 90 days, we want this fruit or vegetable. And so it helps them think of those things. And also, it can help your children have a better sense of environmental stewardship and have pro-environmental attitudes. I feel like this was a big one for me. My parents loved to garden, loved to be in the yard. And I am like very pro-environment. It always makes me so sad. I grew up in an area where it got really developed. Hardly anything that I knew of like my hometown now is really still there. There's grocery stores, things like that, that have just popped up. And it makes me so sad because I know that that's environment and like a special place for so many plants and animals that have been lost. And I attribute that to my parents teaching me those things, having me in the garden, helping me think of those things and be aware of them.
Right. Well, I think you just appreciate it so much. It's good to know like where your food comes from and just the amount of work. We have a little garden right now, and to just be like, this is a lot of work and a lot of time and a lot of money for this little patch. Mm-hmm. And we get like 3 strawberries, yes. 2 tomatoes. And yeah, so it's just a good perspective for them to have to just appreciate things a lot more and appreciate the environment and care about it so much more to be like, oh, wow, that wasn't just easy. That was hard work.
Yeah. And that case of strawberries that you get from the grocery store means so much more knowing how hard it is.
Do you think? Yeah. Well, they have a lot more land that they're dealing with. Yes. But like, what?
Yeah.
We get like one useful one off our little bush.
That's how
are
we
they
are.
Bushes?
Yeah. No, I don't know.
Is it a bush? Plant. Our strawberry plant. We get like one off of it.
Yeah. So. And they probably immediately get eaten. They don't make it inside. At least that's how ours are.
Yep. Well, because you're not going to pick like 3 and bring them inside and wash them and put them with your meal. You just, just straight in your mouth.
Snack. Yep. Yeah. Another thing that I loved, and this one's a little more nerdy, but the soil, it's full of bacteria. It's full of fungi. And I know that's like scary to people because we're a very health conscious people now, just like we don't want germs and all that stuff, but it actually is really good for you. It's good to be out in that. It can boost your immune system. All those allergens that are going in your nose, I know that's gross to think about, but they really do help. Helps you not develop asthma or allergies later on in life, and also autoimmune diseases. So don't be scared to be outside and be out there in the dirt. There's also this specific microbe. It's very common in soil of all sorts. It's called Mycobacterium vaccae. And it's really cool because they've studied this bacteria and they've seen that when you are working in soil and you inhale it, that it will increase your serotonin. And so it literally will boost your mood. It will get rid of anxiety. And I feel that. It's like when I work out in the dirt. Yeah. Isn't that amazing? That's so
cool.
Yeah. So it can help kids if they're anxious, if they are struggling with emotional health, which kids are emotional little guys or girls. And I think being out there in the dirt, breathing in that bacteria and fungi, as icky as that sounds, can really help them with their mood and that stability.
That is so fascinating.
Isn't it?
This is probably a really complicated question, but is that why that kind of helps in general, like with having even a house plant? You had an episode where a girl talked about how she got into plants to kind of fight postpartum depression and anxiety and stuff like that. And having plants in her house just like made it feel more like a home and just more welcoming. Do you think that is part of it?
I think that definitely plays a role. And I'm not sure about like the levels of mycobacterium in houseplant soil. I'm not sure if it's something that naturally occurs only outside. I would assume it would happen in indoor soil as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it also just like gives you a purpose having plants.
Or you see something alive and it feels more alive. But yeah, so that's probably a really complicated question, but that I've never heard that before. That's awesome.
Yeah. So when your kids are playing out in dirt and being big messes, you can be aware that, you know what? They're boosting their serotonin. It's good for them. Don't worry about it. So some other things, so it relieves stress, but there's some other studies that show that children who garden have better focus and better memory, probably just because it's such like an active activity. You have to be focusing while you're planting a seed, while you're picking out a weed or looking at bugs, different things like that. And then once you've grown the garden, you now have fresh produce to eat, which is great for children, like good nutrition. That's amazing. And also we know that picky eaters are more likely to try new foods when they, you know, I've helped grow this food. I just may try it. Still working on that one with my boys, but hopefully.
Last year, we'll see how it turns out this year. But last year, the three tomatoes that we grew in our garden, my son will not eat them inside the house. He has no interest in them at all, unless they come directly off the bush. I want to call everything a bush. I'm sure it's not a tomato bush. It's a tomato plant. But yeah.
But he'll eat them off the vine outside.
Only That's eat them amazing. One. Like if he picks them off, then he'll eat them, but he will not eat them in any other context.
That's so funny. I think I need to have more plants like that where you can pull it off and eat it. Cause last year we grew jalapenos and no one wants to pick those.
You might one time and then never again.
Oh yeah. Yeah. They'll be like, Mom, I don't want to garden with you. That was terrible.
What is this?
Yeah. And another thing when it comes to like nutrition and having your kids in the garden is that they have done studies where they follow kids throughout their life. And if they've gardened when they're younger, they've actually seen that they have higher levels of knowledge about nutrition and they are more likely to continue healthy eating habits throughout their life. And besides that, it's also just like a great form of moderate exercise that they can like continue until they are really old. Like it's a any age activity that they can do. But other than that, that kind of was like the sum up of some of the studies I found. There's so many benefits to garden. I could go on and on, but basically it is so great to do not only for yourself, but to involve your children with.
Maybe this is the moment where I was like, oh, she's my friend. She's a kindred spirit. But you posted a video of your sons using like snippers.
Oh,
why
yeah,
can't I think of any words for anything today? Oh my goodness. Yeah. You, like the pruning shears on stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, because we have a whole episode on like risky we have a whole episode on tools and the importance of children using tools. And I was like, look at her little guy using this tool that could be like out of context. It's kind of scary to look at. Other people look at you and they're like, what did you give your child? Like, what? Mm-hmm. But it's such
I listened to that episode. It made me feel proud of myself.
I was like, oh, look at you.
Yeah, I think that's another important thing, though, is just like if you're there, if you're watching them, he was 3 at the time, so still really little. And I was right there helping him because I did not want any severed fingers or anything, but he did a great job. And now he's pretty confident with them. And he always asks, like, can I like be pruning this? And if I'm there, like, I don't mind him trying it out.
Well, and that sort of thing is a lot more fun. Of like the majority of what I did to help my parents' garden was the weeding, which is fine. But like, if that's all not you get fun. To do is a weed, it's not as fun as the, oh, okay, let's cut these up and let's dig. And, you know, using the tools is way more fun for these little guys.
Yeah, I agree.
So let's move on to the how. And you've kind of been talking about this already, but do you have any specific ideas of how to involve your children in plant care and gardening?
Yeah. So first thing I want to say about how to start is that you don't have to have a huge, perfect yard. I definitely don't. We don't even own a yard. We're renting. So that's definitely something like you can work around.
I love how you've set that up to use the tubs for your little garden.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can start with like a small raised bed. Like Lucy said, right now we have, it's like a wooden box that my dad helped me build, but we've placed these plastic containers in it, like those big, I don't know how many gallons, 50 gallon tubs in it, just so that we can like take it apart and take it with us wherever we do move. And then I do have a planter that I could make permanent and not have tubs in it. But for now, it's working. But yeah, you can do small raised beds. You can find them at Lowe's, Home Depot. I think even Costco has them. You could, if your kids are like done with a sandbox that you have, you can reuse an old sandbox. There's so many options. Yeah. And you definitely don't feel like you have to have a perfect yard to show your kids how to garden. It can be so small and so simple. I think the first step is to like give your kid an area of ownership just so that it's their responsibility. They're excited about it. If they mess it up, it's a learning process. They can figure out like, I can't pull this out 50 times and try and replant it. It's going to kill the plant and it's not a big deal. You can, if you want to like go all in, get them their own set of tools. I just have my kids use mine. I really don't care if they're chucking them everywhere. It's a shovel. It's not a big deal. You can also like create little pictures together and laminate them or put tape on them and put them in your garden so they can see what's growing where and be excited for them to pop up.
That. That's so cool. Yeah,
that's something I haven't really done, but
yeah.
Perfect mom, Rachel, would probably do that. And then when it comes to like knowing what to plant, obviously it depends on what your kids are interested in, what they like to eat. But here are some options. And these options are things that grow relatively fast. Most kids enjoy eating them or they're just fun to grow. So there's sunflowers, which are great because they have big seeds and little kids can grab onto them. Lettuce is another great one, snow peas, cherry tomatoes, bush beans, carrots, potatoes, pumpkins or watermelon, strawberries. We talked about that one. That's one that they love. They love to eat those up. Squash. And then like, for example, my oldest, he loves pickles. And so this year we're going to try pickling cucumbers. They're just like, they look like the baby dill pickles when you grow them. So that way he'll like be excited about them. We can put them in some pickle juice and pickle them and it fits his interests and hopefully he'll eat them. And but just like think of the things that they're interested in, be age appropriate, of course. Yeah. And every kid is different. Like that list, half of those, I'm like, I know my kids would not eat some of those, but like a pumpkin, they love to carve pumpkins when October comes around. So that's like a great one to do.
We have not had luck with pumpkins. Really? Actually, I guess we can get one. We get one about this size and then the whole plant will die once it's this size.
Uh-huh.
One day.
Well, at least you got one. Yeah.
Yeah. We've had 2 years in a row. We've got one pumpkin, like about the size of my son's head. And then that's it. The plant dies.
Oh, man. I haven't tried pumpkins yet, but just because like I don't have an area big enough. Yeah,
hard with
smaller spaces. But I think if you can like get a good patch growing, that would be a lot of fun. I don't know how they do it though. I go to those pumpkin patches. I'm like, I need to take notes on what you guys are doing.
Talk to someone. How do you do this?
Yeah. And then for some of those plants, most of them, you can start them inside. So you can, I guess for most areas, at least in the United States, the time is kind of past to start seeds inside. Mm-hmm. But it's a great, just like a great time to be learning about how to plant seeds. What does a plant need to grow? That was like a whole science lesson I was able to have with my 4-year-old of like, these are the things that a plant needs to grow. Like we're going to put it in the soil, need some sun, we need some water, and it should be good to go. And so you can also like, it's not only just plant education that you can be doing with your kids. You can learn about bugs. You can learn just like the little bits and pieces of like how the weather works, things like that. There's so much that you can be learning, how flowers work for maybe older kids to like, this is pollen. They need bees and pollinators to move this pollen to different flowers so they can make fruit like a tomato, or they can make, make seeds if it's that sort of plant that only makes seeds and not edible fruit sort of thing. Also with a garden, you can make a birdhouse. You can start a compost pile. You can collect seeds from local species and try to plant them. I know this one's not like collecting seeds from local species, but anytime we eat a watermelon, my son insists on sticking them in the soil. None of them have popped up yet, but I think he really enjoys
it. So cute. That's so sweet.
Yeah. And I love to see how he just recognizes of like, oh, this is a seed. Like, let's go put it in your garden, mom. Like that's where it belongs. And
oh, I love that. Yeah,
I think if you just like show your love of being outside, and maybe you don't love being it. So maybe you're someone who like doesn't love gardening, but just try and show that it's like, it's fun. It's good for you. Excuse me. Sound like I was like crying there. I promise I'm not crying.
Getting a little choked up. This is the emotional part.
But it'll rub off on your kids. They'll pick it up. Today, my son, it was like a really windy day last night. That didn't make any sense. It was a really windy day yesterday. So anyways, he was outside, some flowers off of our tree that's blooming came off, and he ran inside and wanted to show me them. He's like, these are so beautiful, mom. Like, come look at these. Like, not dad, mom. And I'm like, yes, this is everything I've dreamed of, that he like appreciates the things I'm pointing out to him. And I think it applies to gardening as well.
Oh, I love that. Do you have them help with your indoor plants very much?
I do. And usually it's just watering because there's not much else happening with them. There's no fun fruits to pick and things like that. But yeah, I will let them like carry the little water jug. I'll pull the plants down and they can help me water them. And sometimes they'll help me like prune off dead leaves, but it's gotten to a point where like plants have been such a part of our home that most of the time they don't really notice them, which is kind of nice. They're not yanking on them. When they're just learning to crawl, I think it's a problem. It's exciting. It like you can smack it and it comes right back in your face and it's funny. But now that they're older,
you got to be a little bit more aware of which ones are toxic.
Yes. Yeah. Don't touch the cactus or put that where a baby can reach.
Yeah. Whenever people come over to my house, I have to be like, how is your is your child going to pull a leaf off of my poinsettia and eat it? Should I move my poinsettia up higher? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's such a good thing to be thinking about. You don't want them eating that kind of stuff. But I think if you have them in your home and just let your kids know, like, we don't touch these. Like, if you want to help mom with them, you can. And then at least for me and my experience is my kids, they don't even bother them anymore. So if you do have kids and you're scared to have plants in your home and you're listening, you're not too sure, I say, just try it, put it out of their reach to begin with. And I don't know, I feel like kids get used to it and they know not to play with them. We've had spilled soil in our house. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We just clean it up. We learn and they know not to do it anymore.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Leo's hardest thing was to understand that my Christmas cactus does not want a lot of water, because he'll see me water everything else but that, or like my jade plant, like a couple ones he'll know that I don't water them and he'll be like, you missed that one. And he'll occasionally like try to go over and be like, I think this one needs water. Be like, that one doesn't like water that much. Please no. But yeah,
it's so hard.
It's been a long time. Yeah, I know. That is like that's an adult response too. It's been so long since this plant has had water. I think you really do want water. You don't know what you want, plant. Yeah.
Yes.
But yeah, they such forget about them and it's just part of their environment.
Yeah.
I agree.
And then other than that, like I feel like I've gotten on my soapbox of how to start and why it's so great. But I don't know. Do you have any other questions? Do you have any other questions of how to start a garden? Do you feel like I hit it all or? Because a lot of times I feel like I'm like, I just think too fast. I think people know what's in my brain. You know what I mean?
Right. Okay. What is a great house plant to get started with if you have children?
Ooh, that's a great question.
Like a person doesn't have any plants, like they're not super comfortable with that themselves, but would like to start kind of a soft incorporation of this.
Yeah, I would say number one is a pothos plant. And it's one of the most common house plants. Is that what that is in the corner? Yeah. And I think it's so popular for good reason. It grows fairly fast. It's really easy to propagate, meaning you can snip off a piece and it'll grow new roots when you place it in water or soil and you have a whole new plant. And then it also can just take a beating. If you forget to water it for a while, it will hang on and it will be okay. Or if you don't have a lot of good lighting in your home, it will still grow and do okay. I feel like it always makes do. So I would say pothos number one.
Also, a decent one if your child is worried that it didn't get enough water and decides to water, they can handle a little bit more overwatering.
Yes. Yes. Very true. Yeah. They're just such a great plant. Hartley philodendron is one of my other ones that I love to go to. It looks very similar to a pothos, a little different.
Are their leaves just like a little bit more heart-like?
And they kind of have a different texture to them than the pothos does. Not as like glossy.
Okay.
They're a little like more matted sort of sheen.
I think we have one of those too, but somebody gave it to us. And so I'm not sure, but
I'm trying to think if there's like, I'm not a huge fan of succulents, probably because because
I like to water things. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And if you do too much, they're gone.
They're the hardest plants for me.
Yeah. So let's see. Oh, a snake plant. I think that would be my other one I'd recommend, because those ones you don't water a whole lot, very similar to like a cactus, but they do so well. And just like such a hardy houseplant that's really hard to kill. And your kids, I don't know, if they mess with it, I feel like it's going to be okay for it.
Yeah, those are good ones. Okay, I'm trying to think if I have any other questions. I also listened to your podcast, so a lot of my questions have already been answered. I should have taken notes. When we interview moms, I like to always just ask, like, do you have any final like tips or thoughts about being a mom, especially a mom who you know, you're doing other things as well. You have a podcast, you have stuff you're working on. So do you have any advice for any moms?
Oh, that's a good question. I think something that's been on my mind lately is just like not feeling guilty for where you're at. If you're a stay-at-home mom and you're with your kids and like you're not doing any side hustles, not doing anything else, just to not feel guilty. Like it is fine to do that. And if you're a mom who works, don't feel guilty. Like you can do that. And for me, like my evenings are spent doing like little, I would say like a passion project, but it's kind of turned into a whole business itself. And I'm like working on like not feeling guilty, like, oh, I'm not like doing some crazy homeschool lesson every day or things like that. But say, just be happy with what you can accomplish and teach your kids to love the things you love. And I think that it will pass on to them and they will grow to see the things you love and grow into that as well.
Thank you so much for listening to the Speckled Bees, a celebration of childhood. We love having you here listening. We love bringing other passionate people on. Speaking of which, our 50th podcast episode is just around the corner, and we would invite you, the listeners, to send us in some stories. We really want to make a celebration of childhood. So please send us in a voice memo, a sound clip, or even just a message. Have it written up and we can read it for you of just some of your favorite childhood memories. We just want to make a celebration of everything that makes us who we are and all those things that formed us. We're very excited about that. Make sure you rate, review, and subscribe to help us grow. And don't forget to check out Rachel Tenney and all of her platforms, Plant School Podcast, Tenney Plants on Instagram and on YouTube. Thank you so much for listening. Speckled Bees, buzzy now.